Hour. Welcome on into a Thursday morning. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Jason Kelce joins us in half an hour in studio. And joining us right now in studio, let me say this before I say, and I officially welcome Ruben Amaro. So you just heard there, Scott Fransky, Alec Boehm, have a night. It looked like for a while last night, Alec Boehm was going to, you know, along with Aaron Nola, rule the day, and Phils are going to clinch a playoff spot because he hits a home run pretty early, and away we go, and let's go to the postseason. And Ruben Amaro, how dare the Milwaukee Brewers rain our parade? Not only do the Phils not get to the playoffs, then they get to freaking celebrate a playoffs. What is that nonsense? Hello, Rube.
Not nice.
Not nice.
Not nice.
Rhys Hoskins should know better.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this guy thinking? Rube, how you been, man?
I'm doing great.
Dude, it's been like 2 weeks. You're on the road with the team, the whole deal.
Been around. You know,
yeah, talk about outrageous. Yeah, where you been, Rube? We missed you, man. Come on.
What are you doing?
I was down in Borgata.
You were.
That was...
Oh, yeah, I didn't get to see you that day, all right? So how about that?
Was that last week or 2 Fridays ago? Well, maybe that was last week.
That was last week.
Last week? Oh, okay. All right, time's flying. Time's
wasn't
moving.
It?
Yes, yeah, I think it was actually.
You obviously missed me. I made a great impact.
Well, clearly. You're right. I remember now.
There's a lot of bodies.
Andrew Jones was there,
that's
remember?
Right, that's right.
It's all that was something else.
Yeah, Andrew Jones popping through.
I mean, just like out of the blue, out of nowhere, and they're dapping each other up. Yeah, it was something special.
So, Rube, our baseball team's in a great spot.
It is.
I mean, they're going to get a bye, right? I mean, they're up enough on the Brewers. They're not going to lose the thing to the Brewers. They could lose the thing to the Dodgers. I mean, by the way, for everyone, if you don't know, last night, not only did the Phillies lose, but the Braves won, the Dodgers won, and obviously the Brewers won beating the Phillies. So now I'll tell you one thing about last night. Seltzer, you check this out. The Brewers apparently went hard last night in their celebration.
They sure did.
Very aggressive.
Which should help tonight's Phillies effort.
Bob Uecker was in there celebrating with him. He gave a speech. They're all yelling, Uke! It was pretty good.
That's good stuff, man. You ever meet Bob Uecker, Rube?
Oh, many times.
What's he like?
He's exactly like you think he is.
Love it. Love it.
He is spectacular.
He is an American gem, that guy.
He really
indeed.
Is.
It was really neat that Pat Murphy did what he did with him because he's pretty special.
Good. All right,
Do you think he's the same as he was when you first met him? Is he staying strong? Because to me...
Because he's 110 years old?
He's still calling the games, man.
It's incredible to me.
He's still rolling.
No, he's still rolling.
Great call of them clinching. It was good.
There has to be something. Yeah. Are you noticing anything?
I have not, but I mean, others who listen to him more frequently.
It's like a piece of iron.
Sure. All right, Rube, give us a quick thought on the Eagles. So, you know, look, you've heard all the, you know, you see the game, you've heard all the consternation. Do you think it was an overreaction when 77% of people yesterday, and I was one of them, said, I think we got an average team, would not have said that prior to game week two. Is that an overreaction, or were you concerned enough that you say, yeah, our team's not nearly as good as we thought?
Well, I do believe that it's not as good a team as I had earlier thought. And my biggest concern has been the defense and continues to be. Because, I mean, when you talk about team, you have to talk about all the elements, right? And to me... Mm-hmm. I mean, offensively, they're talented out the wazoo. But when I just don't, they're going to have to prove to me that they can actually stop the run and do it consistently and block and tackle consistently for them to show me that they're an above average team. I'm not sure if they're a good team yet. And I think that they can be a really, really good team, but it depends on them actually stepping forward on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, it
Ruben,
does.
That's a
it
huge.
Does.
What he said there, stopping the run, that is such a simple, it sounds so simple, simple concept.
They haven't been able to do it.
We are so bad at it compared to everything I've seen previously. That was once, I don't know, a point of pride for Eagles teams Jim Schwartz was here. And then, you know, there were vestiges of that. And I don't know if that's just because... Maybe Fletcher Cox was the guy who was in the middle as recently as last year.
Sure.
There is no longer that adherence to, hey, this is about our pride, about stopping them when it's about getting down and dirty. That what I saw in week two was an embarrassment.
Well, let me say this. So Seth Joyner probably said it the most succinct of anybody who has discussed the Eagles' defense. In about 15 seconds, he really... hit something critical here. Listen to what Seth said to us earlier this week.
They have a major, major problem on the defensive side of the football. You can be deficient in one area and proficient in the other. But you cannot be deficient in these two areas at the same time. You cannot be a football team that can't stop the run and a football team that can't rush the passer.
All right, look, let's go to the phones. Your reaction to it all, 215-592-9494, including your reaction to the reaction. Meaning, you know, on Tuesday and Wednesday, all that was said here on WIP, and perhaps that you yourself thought, was it an overreaction that we went from thinking we had, at the very least, a very good team, maybe a truly great team, to yesterday, 77% of people, myself included, thinking we have an average team. Is that an overreaction? Vince joins us right now. Vince, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How are you all doing today?
Doing all right, Vince.
So, I live in Atlanta, and watching this game with my club group on Monday Night Football towards the end seemed like, you know what, we're going to finish this, we're going to win, a little rough, but we're going to get there. Next thing you know, all hell breaks loose. That didn't happen. Was I overreacting like most of the fans were? No, I don't think so for a number of reasons. I'm glad to see Jalen's running around a little bit more, but he needs to make better decisions when it comes to looking downfield, making better decisions with his throws.
No question.
When you have Brayden Covey making more tackles in a game than Huff, that's another problem right there. Play calling, it's just there's too many things going on that they need to figure out, and it's so annoying to watch it. I understand it's week two. They had a 10-day, you know, time off, but coming back from Brazil, I understand there's things going on. But I don't see this getting fixed anytime soon. When you are not utilizing people, when you're going to throw the ball to Calcaterra or whatever instead of Goddard most of the time, utilizing him more, or throwing the ball more to Brayden Covey instead of John Dotson, who should have been the number two in that scenario. I get A.J. Brown's the best player on this team, but you have five other people to use, and you're going to people that shouldn't even be on the field. But let's just go with that play call. I don't understand why they would do
that. Well, it was perplexing. Like, I mean, I'll say this, Vince. When they got Dotson, my initial thought was, I'm not as excited as a lot of people are because, like, why did Washington trade him after 2 years? You know, I mean, think about how many times we, and it hasn't been that many, but it's happened where after 2 years, we as a fan base would want to dump a first-round pick, Marcus Smart, Marcus Smith, Danny Watkins, Rager. You know, there's some that turned it around like Aguilar and Brandon Graham. But generally speaking, when you want to dump a third-year first-round pick, it generally means the guy's a pretty big disappointment. And so I was like, my expectations aren't great on Dotson here.
Yeah, but you can still have to say, though, he's still an upgrade to Brayden Covey.
Well, he certainly should be. He certainly should be an upgrade in the receiving game to Covey. Vince, give me who or what got shortchanged. You can win the tickets to the Phillies game Monday night.
So, since you want to bring up presidents, I'm going to go with John Quincy Adams for his movement with slavery in Congress to help get the ball rolling there.
JQA, as I called him in freshman year of college, junior.
Like
yeah, JQA.
Really?
JQA. Well, he was involved with the Amistad situation, which was famously shown in the 1997 movie Amistad. So John Quincy Adams was really big there. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, what's going to happen with the Sixers Arena and what we prefer to see happen? Where we prefer to see the Sixers Arena, certainly you can wait on that as well. Jason Kelce at 7:30. And also Joe Conklin cooking something up for us today. Cooking something up for Jason Kelce today. We'll have some fun with that as well. Your phone calls and your chance to talk to Kelce next on 94W. Oh, man. All right. Hello. Hello, Robert Plant. And welcome.
Nice.
Wonder how long Paige and Plant are going to do their thing.
As long as they want.
I hope so, man. I hope so.
Uke's doing his thing at 90, whatever.
Is that
know?
What he is?
I think he's like close to 90, yeah, around 90.
That's incredible. All right.
Might be over 90.
So it would have been fun if the Phils had won last night and got in the playoffs. They didn't. They probably will today, you know, one way or the other. Magic number still won. Now, the Braves play earlier in the day. They have an afternoon game. So this is one of those scenarios at about 4 o'clock the Phillies might make the playoffs, you know, 3 or 4 hours before the Phillies game tonight. So we'll see. Eagles, a lot of conversation about kind of the reaction to the game and whether people overreacted or not. Now, before we get back to the calls on that topic and more, I want to play some audio of Devin White because Devin White talked yesterday for the first time and kind of talked extensively about, you know, getting benched, but not just in this case getting benched, actually being deactivated, how he's reacting to the series of events that has led to him being, you know, not only not a starter, but didn't play week 2 when he was healthy. Here's Devin White yesterday.
Makes that personality come out of it and allows you to handle this the way you're handling it. I don't know. I think I've been through a lot in my life, good and bad, you know, open and public, private, and it just make you grow up, you know what I'm saying? You know, everything not gonna always be in your favor, you know, but it's about how you respond, you know, how you handle yourself, but that's the only thing I can control. You know, I can't put myself in the game, but I can control my attitude, my effort and practice, and, you know, just my swagger in the building still, you know, coming here every day like a pro and handling my business, rather, you know, I feel like I got a son, he can cry when he don't get his way, you know, that's for him to do, not me, you know, I got to set this down.
All right, well stated by Devin White.
I love this guy.
Yeah, well, that's good.
I don't know what kind of player he is because I don't know football well enough to mm-hmm. be able to analyze who he is and what he can bring to the table. But as far as that, his attitude is
that's
concerned,
good. Yeah.
I mean, and that's how I felt about the other quotes. I thought he handled things very, very well. I was pretty impressed by him. I'm even more impressed by
him now. Here's the problem, though.
Top impressed.
No, that part's great. The problem is this is another one. And we've kind of lost track of it because the other issues are stacking up. Where you look back at Howie's offseason and say, man, a lot of mistakes. I mean, the biggest one coming under focus for Howie is obviously Bryce Huff. But guys, let's not forget, Devin White was signed to be a starting linebacker on this team. He got beat out.
Okay.
You know,
and
like
that's not necessarily a mistake. That's you
give him $3 million.
Lots of good competition.
John,
Dean,
he got deactivated.
Zach Bond.
He got deactivated.
What did the linebackers do the other night?
No. He was healthy for week two and was a healthy deactivation in the game. That is a bad sign.
And that is
that's a bad sign.
Open to debate.
Like, it's not open for debate.
Well, he was banged up though, Joe.
But
like,
he was considered healthy. He had practiced. Was considered healthy, and they chose to go with backup linebackers who most people couldn't even name.
I think what's most damning, I guess, if you're expecting him to be a starter at some point this year, Vic Fangio basically said it like flat out, he got beaten. Like,
he
was beaten out for the job.
Yeah, no, that's right. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Do you think people overreacted, myself included, with coming down on the Eagles as hard as we did? Not so much on how they lost, like meaning the very end, but the bigger picture of how good they are. Look, here's my simple thing. I don't think I overreacted, but I recognize that, you know, maybe I did. I sure as heck hope I did. I mean, a couple things do stand out that as we get deeper into the week and further away from the game, give me some cause for pause for how I reacted. Number one, it is just one game. I mean, they're not 1-3. They're not 1-6. They're 1-1, all right? Number two, San Francisco, Dallas, and Detroit all looked phenomenal week one. They all had very impressive victories, and they all lost week two.
Nine
just
teams
like the Eagles
lost week two
that were favored. That's right.
Yes.
So that's a factor. I also know there is truly no way to quantify the Brazil thing, and if it had an impact on them, if there's like a hangover, so to speak, don't know. They had extra time, but one of only two teams in human history to fly from Brazil and go try to play a game. Now the Packers won, so make of that what you will. Eagles didn't. Kirk Cousins, pretty good player. So, you know, look, I hope I and we overreacted. I'm not convinced we did. I hope to be proved convinced. Time will tell. Let's go to the phones. Also, Jason Kelsey joins us this segment. 215-592-9494. Derek right now in Paoli. Good morning, Derek.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, hi, Derek.
I got a question for John, and I got one for you too, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing with Devin White, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that is like what happened? You know what happened with Fangio in Miami last year with some of the players, right?
I don't know exactly what happened.
Like,
I know that it sounds like the players were upset with Vic, that he was old school with his way of dealing with them, and there were guys who didn't take kindly to that.
I think that's
my impression.
An unlikely scenario here, Derek, is remember this. He got benched at the end of last year by Tampa Bay. He was on the open market and got signed for $3 million here.
No, he was also debating a contract all of last season and
he got
angry about where his contract situation sat.
That's his fault.
Yes.
And my point remains, when healthy at the end of the last year, he was benched. So, Derek, my instincts tell me he's just not that good.
Well, your instincts also could be very wrong on this.
I'm just not convinced that N'Kobe Dean is better than him, though. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the Eagles said he was.
Right. I mean,
and what I saw from N'Kobe Dean in week two was he got engulfed by every blocker that he took on.
Yeah, he's so small, bro. He's too small.
Yeah, I have questions about whether he can hold up in this league when teams decide to line up and just run it at us play after play after play. Can N'Kobe Dean hold up to that?
Devin,
what does that tell you
about Devin White? Did he beat him out in training
camp? He's got a better chance to do it. Maybe he will.
Or Devin White could be
just
be done, man. He could just not have anything left.
Yeah,
Vic Fangio could also be a you know what, because you hear how he talks in the interviews, how he just, you know.
Yeah, Derek, I think you're connecting dots like in a weird way. All right, Derek, give me an answer. Give me an answer.
Real quick, Joe, do you literally watch the game like after the game is over?
No.
You'd be giving up a lot of stuff. Like,
well, the Brazil game, hold on. The Brazil game, and I said this on the air, I had to go to a wedding. So then when I got sequestered in a basement, well, I guess can be sequestered with three other people, we watched the game about an hour afterwards, not knowing the outcome. That was the one game where it's like, all right, nobody come down to the basement that isn't one of the four of us. We're watching the game.
I'm just saying, you do a lot of talking, man, from 6 to 10. So you should be informing yourself to say, like, just to say that the Eagles are simplifying their playbook because they're $255 million quarterback.
Yeah.
Can't read a defense.
Derek, I did not say he can't read a defense. I said I think he struggles to read defenses as well as other quarterbacks in the league, and I don't think he reads defenses as well as you think he does. But, you know. Mm. All right, Derek, give me an answer.
I think that's kind of preposterous.
That's fine. Who or what got shortchanged?
I got shortchanged at Wawa, but that changed Spencer this morning, man. They be shorting you. You got to check it.
All right, man. It did you dirty at Wawa, apparently. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get to the arena issue. So let's play the audio of the mayor making the announcement yesterday. Mayor Parker's announcement that she is going to support the concept of the Sixers getting an arena in Center City doesn't mean it definitively will happen, but certainly is a big step in the direction for the Sixers to get what they want. I am not for this. I've been very clear about that for the last year and a half or so. I remember when we did a poll about a year and a half ago, whenever the issue first arose, about 2/3 of people did not want it in Center City. Now we've got a new poll question. We'll see today how people vote on that. Here's the mayor's announcement yesterday.
I am proud to share that I have made my decision and an agreement has been reached that will ensure that our Sixers are staying home. Yes, you heard me correctly. My administration has reached an agreement with the Philadelphia 76ers for an arena in Center City, and I will be transmitting the related legislative package to our City Council of Philadelphia for its consideration, where it must be approved. Philadelphia, I am proud. This is an historic agreement. It is the best financial deal ever entered into by Philadelphia mayor for a local sports arena. And I wholeheartedly believe it is the right deal for the people of Philadelphia.
All right, that's the mayor yesterday. Now we'll ask today this Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the all-new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. The question, where do you prefer the Sixers play their games? Three choices, alphabetical order. A, Camden. B, Center City, Philadelphia. C, the South Philadelphia Sports Complex, which is obviously where they've been for many decades. Where do you prefer they play? My answer is where they've been, choice C, South Philly Sports Complex. Now, I understand for people to answer this, it has to do with where you live, how you get around, whether it's driving, subway, cab, Uber, whatever, okay? There's a lot of where you work.
It'll what be a this nightmare actual for traffic deal down is. There.
Yeah. Like, what the actual deal is.
Like, is Josh Harris paying for the stadium or are we paying for the stadium? Like, that's my number one thing.
Yep.
That matters.
You know, the impact on the city economically in a good way or a bad way. All right, John, for whatever reason you want to choose what you choose. And I know and let's be clear, the five of us here, none of us truly know the economic impact. It's impossible for us to know it.
Well, that's the thing. That's a huge factor. I wish I knew the economic impact, and I wish I knew it was positive. I wish I could say, yes, this is why
I do think
this is positive.
I will say, I do think the transportation impact will be a disaster.
A complete disaster.
A fiasco.
I mean,
for people driving in.
Yeah.
For people that might have to take a train that don't want to, or a subway that don't want to, for people trying to leave Center City work time when people are coming into Center City, like I think that, and parking, I think that
we work
is
down in that
a
area,
disaster.
Like close to that area for a long time.
So Rhea, it sounds like you're saying South Philly.
100%, and I live less than a mile from the stadium complex. Yep. But I can get around it. There's no getting around that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. All right, James, your preference for where the arena be?
So, like I said, first and foremost, if whether Josh Harris is paying for it or not is my number one thing. Like, I hate when cities build stadiums for billionaires. Like, I'm out on that. But if Josh Harris is paying for it, like, I understand the traffic impact and all that, but I do think there are positive benefits to it. I mean, like state arenas and cities are cool, man. Like, and they do like
that.
MSG's awesome. Like, a lot, most big cities do have their arenas in their cities as part of the life of the city, the energy of the city, the excitement of the city. Like, it will make Philadelphia a cooler place to be.
Now, you know, let me just say this, James and John, because it sounds
is
like you
that
guys
realistic
are
though. Well, can we get to where Philadelphia
it's gonna happen.
Downtown in,
and look,
in the
there's
fashion
always
district.
Traffic. It might be worse, but there's when I leave a Phillies game, a regular season Phillies game, I live 7 minutes from the stadium with no traffic.
Can I give you a big
It takes me close to an hour to get out of a Phillies game.
All right, let me give
it
you
It took me 2 hours on Saturday.
Yeah. So I think we're going to hit traffic wherever you have a stadium. I know it's worse, but honestly, it's a good thing to incentivize people to take public transportation. Yeah. That's better for everyone. Right. Like, I know people might not want to, but guess what?
Hold on.
It's easy public transportation to get there. It's a very easy route.
Let me give you a big butt. New York, MSG, just referenced them. An incredible subway system.
Yeah, they have
no one drives to the game.
Incredible subway system.
And it's in the stadium. It could be more, I agree.
So, you know, the person coming from the main line, the person coming from Jersey, the person coming from Delaware, the person coming from Northeast Philly, I don't know, man.
We have trains. We have
We do, but it is not
in place.
It is not typically part of our culture.
Well, it would be better if it were, maybe. Like, maybe it'll incentivize more people to use public transportation.
I like it for that reason.
We also like what we like.
It fleshes that out.
And do what we know. That's the way a lot of us are wired.
And people will adapt. We always do as humans.
I think so.
Well, Jim Gardner ruled Channel 6 and Action News for 40 years because he was the best. But also, we got used to him.
Yeah, I get it, but sometimes change should be forced on people.
All right. Ruben, where do you prefer the arena be?
Well, I love all these arguments in the discussion because it all makes a lot of sense. And, you know, change is difficult for a lot of people. I personally would prefer have them be down in the sports complex just because I don't think they have the infrastructure to be able to handle a, you know, 40-game season down there. I just don't. In that fashion district. I live not far from there.
Yep.
I don't care about traffic myself personally. I can bounce from where I am. I got no issues with
that.
You're
a little more on the edge also.
You're more close
to the river.
Right.
Yeah.
And that said, I think that there's going to be some difficulty
you
there.
You say that like you know where Ruben lives. He sort of does.
We're boys.
Amaro
and DeCamera boys. All right.
Ruben, you invited Joe over to your house?
Well, I have, yeah.
And you just went over and you guys hung out?
Just hung out.
Like, what were you guys doing?
Not more than once.
Yeah.
More than once.
Like watching a game together?
Sometimes.
Dinner? Normally.
What do you mean, sometimes? How many times are we talking?
Yeah, maybe a drink or two or three?
Hold on. Sometimes suggests multiple. Listen. Are we talking like double digit?
Cooler dude than you think. I mean, if the Amaras of the world want to hang out with, I must bring more to the table
but
than
why
meets the eye.
Do they? That,
yeah,
why?
No, that is a good point.
It does not compute.
That's a great point.
There's so many people to hang out with, Rube. Right, come on.
All right, let's just get everyone on the table, just straight up. I am where it's been. Rhea, you're clearly where it's been.
100%.
Seltzer, your answer is what?
My answer is dependent on if Josh Harris is paying for it or not. If Josh Harris is paying for the stadium, then I'm a yes. But
Ruben,
if not, I'm a no.
Ruben, your answer is what?
I'm a C, but I would like to have more information about you know, how it impacts us financially and what, you know, the whole deal is all about.
Yeah. Okay, John, give me your answer. Your answer is what?
I'm open to discussion.
I got no idea.
I like the idea, the possibility right now. My inkling is leaning toward the sports facility.
Joe, you and I are the only ones with a clear plan. That's what's happening
here. I'm very curious where everyone stands. You can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Where do you want the games played? Also, in 1 minute, Jason Kelce joins us in studio on the Birds and more coming up in 1 minute.
When you're dealing with ongoing aches and pains, you're not just yourself, and who has time for that? NovaCare Rehabilitation's physical therapists understand and help get you back to feeling like you. For more than 30 years, NovaCare has been the Delaware Valley's hometown leader in physical therapy, hand therapy, and sports medicine. From healing aches and pains to gaining strength and flexibility, their clinical experts listen and work with you to reach your goals. With more than 200 convenient locations in Greater Philadelphia and South Jersey, there is no better time to make NovaCare's movement experts part of your healthcare team. To learn more about the benefits of physical therapy, schedule an appointment today at NovaCare.com. They'll get you back to work, sports, and life, and help you stay healthy all year long. NovaCare recently named 2024 Best Places to Work by the Philadelphia Business Journal, and the Philadelphia Phillies and Eagles trust them, so you know you can too. NovaCare. The power of physical therapy.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie on this Thursday morning. It's been a strange week here in WIP. First off, we thought we had a football team that was at the very least good. Now a lot of people think they're average. And last night I tuned into a baseball game thinking that the Phillies were going to clinch a playoff spot. And lo and behold, the freaking Brewers do. That's all right. Phillies will do it today. All right, for more on all this, let's talk to the man who was the man Monday night all around town. ESPN broadcast, every single sector of Lincoln Financial Field Monday night. And he's with us every Thursday morning at this time, Jason Kelce. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good, but how are you, pal?
I'm great. I had a great weekend. Had a fun one outside of the Birds losing. So
you look skinny.
Do I?
Yeah. How much do you weigh?
I don't even know. I don't know if I like that.
Do you
yet.
Have a scale at your house?
Yeah. I've been stuck at 275. I keep losing weight a little bit.
And he looks lighter than that.
You're lighter than that.
Well, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't eat a sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin yet today, so maybe I'm still pretty light.
You're not on the John Ritchie plan of retiring and packing on 50. Yeah. Deuce was another guy that packed
50.
On. Deuce retired and
it was more than 50.
It was more than 50.
Yeah, I didn't have a scale. I didn't have a scale at my house because I only stepped on the scale at work, and so then I stepped on the place at the airport where they weigh bags, and it said 305 point something. Yeah. And I was like, oh, they calibrated heavy because they want everyone to pay more.
Yeah, no
so
way
I
that's
didn't
right.
believe that I was three bills, but I really was.
Classic.
I was three bills.
So, Jason, we'll get to the game and the impact and implications and all that in a moment. Let's just start with you Monday night. You were all over the place. Was it independent of the loss prior to that? Was it a really fun night for you? I mean, the Foles thing, the ESPN thing, that must have been really cool.
Yeah, it was incredible. And even before that, I was out in the parking lot with a bunch of the fans. One of the tailgates were like grilling, smoking a gator. Which I was like, is this like a Philadelphia tradition? We smoke gator in Philadelphia. It doesn't seem very regional, but it was a blast.
Wait, so it was like on a spit?
Yeah, I mean, they also had cheesesteaks like and they had other stuff there. No, it was like an offset
reptile?
Smoker, like a big freaking alligator.
Reptile, yeah.
It was stuffed with like cream cheese or something like that.
Was it like spinning?
It was good.
Wow. You know, like they would with the pig?
It was. It was just sitting in that thing.
Was it tasty?
It was actually good. And I've had fried gator before in Florida, and you fry any piece of meat, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that makes it good.
This was good, yeah. I enjoyed it.
Just
it was
kind of
like
question.
Lobster a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah. Jason, it is that's not a Philly a Philly thing. Just answer your question.
Typically not.
It's like lobster.
No.
Hey,
Jason.
It's gnarly looking, though.
I'll bet. So we're to the point, you know, last year at the end of the year, it felt like we finished with a players only at some point. Players only meeting.
Yeah.
This year, at the start of the year, they close the doors on the coaches and say, hey, players only meeting after the second game. How often do players only meetings happen? And how bad a sign is it that they keep happening with this team?
Yeah, I think players only meetings usually only happen when you are grossly underperforming. on the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I never really liked player meetings. It felt like we were just doing it kind of to do it, like, because everybody has to do it when you're kind of struggling. It's like, now we have to have a players meeting. But it's like we're already having
the
same discussions. Yeah, and some guys are very authentic with it and very good at it. And I think that when you have good leadership, they can, you know, force guys to really take accountability in a way that's more apparent to their peers, which is different than, I think, the accountability being portrayed to the coaches in mm-hmm. some ways. So I've been a part of them where they make a difference and they're really good. And then there's other ones where it's like, you know, there's so much wrong here that I don't know that we're, you know, really doing much by having this. Mm-hmm. But you always kind of go into it with an open mindset. But I think that these guys early in the season, they know that they should have just won that game. So looking at the context of this, they all know that they, talent-wise, they're there. They have to execute better. They have to play better and run defense especially.
Yeah.
And I think that accountability side of it should go a long way.
Jason, so it's Thursday morning. Eagles have a game on Sunday. Obviously, the team has to move on this upcoming Sunday. I mean, it has to. And it already has begun. Game plan, the whole deal, practices. I'm curious, you know, we, though, haven't gotten over Monday night. It's still, you know, Monday is still a bigger topic for us and how we feel than upcoming Sunday. How tough is it for a player to get over a brutal loss?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's easier for the player than probably the fan because you don't have a choice. You have to focus now on the Saints. Like, you know, you get a day or two to really worry about that. But, I mean, if you're still thinking about last week at this point, like, you should be, all of your focus should be on the Saints. And they need to, I mean, there's going to be some carryover. You know, they ran outside zone at will at us this last Monday. And that's like all New Orleans is doing right now with Kubiak's, I think it's his son, right?
His son.
It's like the exact same stuff they're going to get. So, you know, they're going to have to have an answer for that for sure.
So, Jason, this is the first game in your life. You're an Eagle, but it's the first game in your life that you watched a game that the Eagles lost that you were an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a fan now.
For sure.
So to speak. So when you think in the fandom terms, how concerned are you with the defensive line as it relates to rushing the quarterback and stopping the run? How worried are you there?
I think the antenna's up for sure. They've struggled to get after the passer in 2 weeks now. I think that Brazil, I understood, the surface is a little bit slick. Yesterday, it's hard, or on Monday, sorry. Monday was difficult because when they're running the ball like that, they're staying out of the situations where it's really conducive to rush the passer. I think that last year we would say something, and I think I always liked, you got to earn the right to rush the passer. If you're not successful in first and second down in this league, you're not going to get the opportunities to get the sacks. Like, really, the majority of these sacks are going to come on third and long situations where the quarterback has to throw the ball because they need to pick up a first down, and they stayed out of that. And not only stay out of that, they stay out of a drop back. Like, they're doing run and play action the majority of the game, and then when you do get a drop back, there's no type of rhythm you can develop. So I just think, to me, the whole thing with them starts with stopping the run. They're really good at north and south runs this last week. They're a physical group, interior. They need to figure out how to stop the outside zone. That was the big thing that just jumped out right away on the film of me. It's like they were getting cut out on the backside. They were getting displaced oftentimes on the front side, and they were losing their gaps. And I think, to me, when you're losing your gap, you're getting cut off. Like, those are very correctable things. And you can, and I think Vic tried to do a little bit in the second half with some blitzes and some slants and things to help those guys. But they got to get that figured out.
Good. Well, listen, I'm glad to hear you say it's very correctable. I really hope that they correct it because, look, 15 games to go, and I don't want to see an average football team. None of us do. 215-592-9494. All right, your chance to weigh in as Jason's with us, as he is every Thursday, from about 7:30 to 8:30. Let's go to the phones. Three different issues on the table. The Eagles, the whole shebang. Phillies, obviously a lesser topic today, but they'll probably make the playoffs later today. Two ways you can do it, if the Braves lose or if the Phillies win. And then, and by the way, Reese Hoskins celebrating last night. He hits the home run, and then, of course, the Brewers make it. And then the third, the arena. What you make of the announcement yesterday by the mayor and where you want to see the arena built or stay in South Philadelphia. Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing all right, Ken.
Jason, what a privilege to talk to you. I just admire the hell out of you. I just need to say that.
Thank you, Ken.
Before I get to the Eagles, just 2 points real quick. The arena is an abomination, and I'm happy to explain to you guys on another call when I'm not eating into my time with Mr. Kelsey.
Give me your 15 seconds. Just
I want to hear it.
Yeah.
There's people that live there, and the underlying question is not how it makes the billionaire's life better, not how it makes the organization's life better, but does it make the lives better of the people that live there? And there is no world in which putting that arena there makes the lives of the people that live there better.
I agree with
you. Government should never be in the business of making your life worse. That's just kind of what I think. And shout out to the state of Pennsylvania, PIAA sanctioning girls flag football. I can't wait to see our girls smoke the world in the Olympics in yet another sport in 3 years. So that's
yeah, baby.
I'm still that's trying to figure awesome. Out how we lost 3-on-3 basketball. Like, I don't quite get it. Like, we win 5-on-5, but we lose 3-on-3.
Because I'm still kind of. You're playing on the 5-on-5.
Yeah, well, how about you take the leftovers? Top 12, 5-on-5. Next 12. 3-on-3.
Yeah, I think Tyrese Maxey would have looked pretty good in that 3-on-3.
Why do I need Jimmer Fredette or whoever the hell was it? Like, I forget who it was.
Jimmer
Fredette. It was one of those
Jimmer
kind of guys.
Fredette.
Whatever that
Fredette.
Guy's.
Fredette. Whatever
Fredette.
Fredette. You.
Like, why isn't Maxey and Damian Lillard and, like, I don't know, the next guys in 3-on-3?
I'm with you.
I mean, why not?
Let's get the gold medals, man.
You actually made sense there.
All right, Ken, give me an Eagles point quickly, please.
So you guys do a great job of interviewing Nick after the day after the game. So I appreciate the job you guys did yesterday. My question for Jason, I'm really curious to hear from you, Jason. What is your reaction? How does it make you feel when you hear the crowd, and I'll just say the chorus in the city of Philadelphia, that kind of suggests that Nick Sirianni doesn't really do anything around here?
Interesting question, Ken. Before he answers that, you give me an answer. Who or what got shortchanged? You can win the Phillies tickets.
I'm going to be there anyway, but I'll tell you what, this guy gets shortchanged all the time. Paul Giamatti is one of the best actors in the world.
He is great.
Nobody ever mentioned
him. Yeah, now I think he gets mentioned
a lot. He got nominated for an Oscar this past year.
He's pretty darn good. All right, so, Jason, the people that rip Sirianni, there are many, and there are many that say, like, what does he even do?
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's not calling plays, obviously, which there are a number of, I would probably say the majority of head coaches either call plays or at least are very involved offensively or defensively. But there are a handful of coaches, two of which were in both of the championship games, and Dan Campbell and John Harbaugh, that don't do that. And I think the reality is there is a mold where, as a head coach, you are really a organizational leadership linchpin. We saw that, I think, a little bit with Pete Carroll, too, throughout the years. I don't know how much he was definitely on the defensive side, but, I mean, it's tough to know what all the other coaches do, so I'll just focus on Nick. I think there is incredible merit, in my opinion, to having somebody who is kind of the center in command for all of this, and their main job is to steer the team and the offense and the defense in the proper direction. And they do that with, one, great knowledge of the game, but also, two, great personal relationships, great character. And I think that Nick really does all of that well. He's a great communicator. He really is. And I think that there are certain things that, in ways that is more important as the head coach. And I think that's why you're seeing some of these coaches that just do that have success. Because they're sometimes when it's like an offensive coach or a defensive coach, I think the players feel like that guy's only on that side of the ball and that's disconnected from the other side. Whereas I feel like Nick gets the benefit of, hey, I'm looking out for what's best for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm going to focus all my time and attention here. I'm going to focus on situational football, which I know everybody's crushing him for decision to pass. But I can assure you, he goes into great lengths himself and as a staff into compounding tons of numbers on
this
stuff.
Well, we heard him talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear him talk about it. He goes on and on and on for 5 minutes. I don't know that he does a good job with it because he goes on and on and on for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I look, doesn't it, the idea, my concern for this team is that Nick's credibility took a hit when the initial plan for Nick didn't work. You know, the initial plan was play caller, offensive guy comes in, and that was, you know, not the way it went. That we got
two different times, 2021 and 2023. Basically, try to go be Sean McVay. Okay, you're not Sean McVay.
Yes.
So, John, you think it undermined his authority in the locker room, right?
I hope that it didn't. I think that it would have for me if I was a player who witnessed that occurring, and I want to be sure, and I don't know now at this point in time that it feels like everything that change. Everything keeps changing, and he keeps getting stripped of these responsibilities. If I'm a player, I see that. I pick up on that. Doesn't that hinder his ability to be an authority figure to some of these guys?
Let's go. So 2021, he's calling plays, and he hands over play calling to Shane Steichen. So by that account, like, you would think guys would have lost respect that year for him, right? We go to the Super Bowl the next year. Like, I don't think that – I get what you're saying, and I understand that, like, whenever a coach struggles, that there is, like, that type of reaction from a locker room. But to me, like, the play calling didn't work out in 2021. It didn't work out last year. There's multiple factors as to why it didn't work out in both years. I think that Nick has proven that he's very good at all these other things that a head coach does. And I think he's very good at it. Now, so for me, I don't necessarily think that, like, one correlates to another. If he's not a great play caller, which I think that Nick could be a great play caller in this league, just hasn't worked out. That doesn't have any bearing on his ability to lead organizationally, how he assesses the team, how he addresses players, how he communicates. I think that these are different skill sets and different job details. And I think he's proven in 2022 that he can operate that side at a very, very high level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think about it. And I think that to me, he's already proven he can operate at that side of it very well.
I'll say this. Obviously, this is not breaking news. He's got to know his job's on the line. He's got to know what happened Monday night. It was a setback for the purpose of being the coach next year. And I got to tell you guys, seeing Belichick at that game on Monday, I mean, mm-hmm. Belichick's going to be in this division next year. He is. He is either next year going to coach the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, or the New York Giants. You can book it.
I'll tell you what.
You can book it.
Prior to that game Monday, I was positive it was going to be the Dallas Cowboys or, you know, maybe one of the other ones, but likely the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, one of them is going to finish in third or fourth place.
It's like scary.
He's going to one of them.
Well, it's scary that if things go the way Monday went, it could be the Eagles.
Well, like, I don't think it's scary. I mean, it'd be disappointing if the Eagles have to fire Sirianni because they have a bad year.
But it's,
I would embrace
it's so much more imminent than what I imagined. Like, this idea of Bill Belichick, like, now we've actually seen him
in person,
standing there ready, not coaching.
And by the way, when you hear him commentate, for those that thought, like, oh, he's so old, no, he's not.
No.
Like, he did not have players the last 4 or 5 years, and that's his fault as the general manager guy in New England. But Jason, Bill Belichick still knows football. I mean, this is not Connie Mack when he was 90 years old managing the Phillies in 1950. Ruben, you like that? The A's. I mean, Connie Mack was 88 years old managing the A's in 1950.
You don't feel he was connected to the players?
I would
at that
tend
point?
To think it was probably an issue. I mean, Belichick, Jason, he's an impressive broadcaster, too.
He is. He's got a personality, and he's finally able to let it show unadulterated. I think. Yeah, he's got tremendous knowledge of the game. I always hated playing Bill because you knew that he was going to mix the front up. He was very game plan specific in the way he coordinated defenses, and it was frustrating to go against.
Yeah. Did he create a template last year in week one that frustrated you guys, that you saw remnants of that week two, week three, week four, week five, week six?
No, Bill, I don't think so, and I think that we didn't see a lot of the same stuff that Bill did. And Bill's very unique in the way that he tries to defend, as opposed to, like, the San Francisco 49ers, completely different style defense. Mm-hmm. Todd Bowles, completely different. Wink Martindale, like, head and night and day different. So I think there are a lot of things that we struggled against. New England was a great defense against anybody last year early on. I mean, they had, like, a top two or three defense before they started having the injuries with Judon, and their offense was just god-awful. And it's really hard to be a good defense when your offense is that bad, just from, like, a numbers of, like, opportunity standpoint.
Yeah.
I think, you know, obviously Bill's an incredible defensive coach. He's an incredible head coach. But, you know, two games in, Nick Sirianni, I know he's a great coach, so I look forward to seeing how these guys play this week in a really, I mean –